reading again in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, and I want to take time to read quite a bit of it this morning. Luke chapter 13, verse 1. There were present at that season some that told them of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things. I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable, A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit of this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then, after that, thou shalt cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work in them, therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you in the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Verse 22, and he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall he begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out, and they shall come from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God, and behold, there are last which shall be first, there are first which shall be last. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. In verses 1 and 5, we could write over it, no difference. Verses 6 to 9, no fruit. Verses 10 to 17, no power. Verses 22 to 30, no other way. No other way. Now, you know that the Lord has been speaking to those whom he called hypocrites, chapter 12 and 56. People who could discern the face of the sky and the earth, but they could not discern that which was all important, the spiritual and the eternal. He says you could not discern this time. Let me say again, as I've said the last 2 weeks, John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus, had aroused the nation. They knew that John was a man sent from God. He was the last, by the way, of the Old Testament prophets. The New Testament ones, of course, came along later, and they were for the foundation of the church. There's no such thing as a prophet today, by the way, although some people falsely claim to be, okay? We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief foundation stone, okay? There's no apostles today. There's no prophets today. They were just special gifts for the foundation of the church that was well laid. We can speak in prophecy, of course, but we collect the facts from the Bible. We've got a full revelation, so we don't need prophets in the sense that these people were. Now, the Lord Jesus followed him, and of course, he fulfilled the scriptures in many different ways. For instance, he filled Isaiah 53 and 4. He healed all that were sick. And let me say this. He did that before he hung on that cruel cross. There it says, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now, he didn't heal anyone from the cross. He healed them all before he hung there. But you know something? He saved a very wicked man, one of the thieves the robbers had hung with him. Isn't that right? You know, it's wonderful when you think about it. You see, the salvation is of the soul is more important than physical health. It is. What did he tell this man? That man who was a thief and a murderer. He says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And let me say this. That, humanly speaking, was the moment of his greatest weakness. And if he could save a man who was a thief and a murderer, and when he was hanging hand and feet nailed to a cross, he can surely save you this morning when he's in the right hand of the majesty in heart. You ever think about that? Oh, yes. Now, the big problem was they failed to recognize him. And by the way, I point out that because people are going round about today saying that the Lord Jesus, by his stripes, he will be healed. Peter says, by his stripes we were healed. Isaiah 53, speaking about the nation of Israel, by his stripes he shall be healed, future, for the day to come, okay? Speaking of the nation, but speaking of you and I, we are healed. And it's speaking of our sins being forgiven. It's not speaking about physical diseases. It's that sin, of course, can lead to sickness. If there was no sin, there would be no sickness. But they want to tell you this, that you can be healed any time you call on God, and that's nonsense. Nonsense, and they upset a lot of people. And they upset me when I hear the matter because I know it's not true to the Bible. And they're fake healers. I may as well call them what I think they are. They're not faith healers because they have no faith at all. They tell you, if you've got faith, we'll pray for you, you'll get healed. Huh? Well, you, the fellow, that's going to have the faith, not them, isn't that right? Oh, yeah, they're clever people. Anyway, let me get away from that. They fail to recognize the Lord Jesus for who and what he is. And the result, they rejected him. They refused him. They said, we will not have this man reign over us. Now, the Lord Jesus, at the end of chapter 12, he told them that if you reject me, you'll land at God's judgment bar in eternity. And eternity is that fixed, eternal state. The great white throne judgment, you think about it. You're going to stand there before the Lord. Won't be able to run away. You're going to stand. Nowhere to hide. And of course, the Lord makes it clear that you'll be condemned. The verdict will go against you. But he does teach this. It's possible for you to settle this matter out of court by coming and trusting him. If you hear and heed his voice, you can settle the matter out of court and the judgment will be gone. That's why Paul writes in Romans, there is therefore now, there is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. When you're born into this world, you're born in Adam. But the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you're no longer in Adam, you're in Christ. As in Adam, all die. You can't argue that. As in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ Jesus shall all be made alive. Now there's only two ways. Right way and the wrong way. And you better make sure that you get in the right way. And Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say I am one of many ways. He didn't say I am our way. He said I am the way. In other words, he's the only way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man. No man. There it means mankind, of course. No man cometh unto the Father. The Father's in heaven, isn't he? But by who? Me. By me. He's the door as well. Now, our Lord was interrupted by those who, no doubt, were endeavoring to tell the Lord. But all are not the same, you know. Some of us are better than others. And of course, people who think they're better than others, they always look down on them. Isn't that right? Oh, yeah. There's plenty people like them. They gave the Lord the story, well, we're better than these people at Pilate massacre there in verse 1 of chapter 13. They go down to have a religious feast and a sacrifice. Pilate came along with his soldiers and they're gone. They were wicked sinners, they figured. God's judgment had fallen upon them. And the Lord says, I tell you, nay. He says, suppose ye that these sinners, these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now we've got many people like them. And it's just as old as Cain. Cain was the first person born into this world. Adam came by creation. Cain came by generation. He was born. Now, you think about him. He came to God his own way and brought what he thought God should accept. God doesn't ask you to come your way. He doesn't ask you to bring anything. He says, you come my way. And in that day, of course, it was a blood sacrifice and he brought the fruit of a cursed earth. Now, why did this man come his own way? Well, he didn't trust God. He didn't believe God. He'd no love for God. And he did his own thing. If you love someone, you'll obey them. You'll want to please them, is that right? But he no love for God. His offering was rejected, and thus he was rejected. God refused his offering. It was full of self-will. It was all I. It amuses me about some of these fellows who claim to have miraculous gifts. They're always speaking about I. And they claim to be full of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is given to what? When he shall come, he shall what? What shall he do? He'll not convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, but he shall speak of me. Eh? And he'll show you things to come and so on. The Spirit of God's in this world to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. And a man who's filled with the Spirit of God speaks of Jesus Christ. Doesn't speak of himself. In my flesh dwelleth what? No good thing. We've got nothing to boast about except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But anyway, you think of this fella. God pleaded with Cain. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? He says, you've got time to go on bring the right offering. But he got angry with God. It's amazing how many people get angry with God. Have you got a right to be angry with your maker? And you know, one sin leads to another. Finally, he slays his brother and he lies to God. But you know, the Bible tells us, wherefore slew he his brother? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. That's why he did it. He was of the wicked one. That's why he did it. He had no love for God. Now he rejected God's way. He refused to cry to God for mercy, and he goes out of the presence of the Lord saying, my punishment is greater than I can bear. He never called for mercy. He made up his mind to go the wrong way. And he went out of the presence of God. There's lots of people make up their mind to go the wrong way. It's time you made up your mind to go the right way. Now, these people, the Lord is trying to tell them that they were no different. He shifts the story, of course, to Jerusalem, because I believe they came from Judea, Jerusalem. And he tells them about the 18 that the pool of Siloam and the tower came down, crashed, 18 were gone. And he says, suppose ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem, I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What's the Lord saying? He says there's no difference. Some people sin more, some people might sin less. But the problem is we have sinned. And you know we've got a lot of sins. You ever think if you only sinned once a day, that would be 365 sins a year? Hey, and if you're an oldest brother, Garrett, you know I'm only a young fella, then you'd have an awful pile of sins. Huh? Oh, sure. It's true, though, when you think about it, isn't it? Yes. Now, the Lord said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Why did the Lord Jesus come? He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And if he hadn't come to seek us, we would have never sought God. You know, we're all like Adam. When Adam sinned, did he see God? No way. He tried to cover himself up and make himself look respectful. He became religious. And then as soon as he hears God's voice, he runs and hides. Why is this place not packed out? It's only a little building. Why is it not packed? I'll tell you why. Men do not like to come into the presence of God. They would rather hide from God. They're afraid to meet him, and meet him they will. Meet him they must. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And we've all got to stand before him. And the reason man is afraid of God, God is holy and man is sinful. You know, Romans 3 makes it abundantly clear. There is none righteous, no, not one, not even one. Only God is righteous. Goes on to say, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And the first lesson that men and women born into this world need to learn is that they are sinners and have come short of the glory of God. You know, that word sinner in our Bible is an old Anglo-Saxon word. It's taken from the days of archery. You know, when they pulled that old string and the arrow missed it, Mark, it was a sinner. It was a sinner. It missed the mark. It comes short of something, eh? Now, as far as God's standard is concerned, we've all missed the mark. It doesn't matter how hard you try, you cannot make it on your own. You need help. You desperately need help. And thank God's available. God's made it available to you. Now, secondly, in the parable of the vineyard, the tree in the vineyard, we found out there was no fruit in that tree. And the degree of the owner, the degree of heaven is, cut it down, why cumbereth it the earth? We looked at that last week. You know, in your life and mine, there can be no fruit for God until we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You know that? As a sinner, we can do nothing to please God. Nothing. I wonder how long God has been looking for fruit in your life and found none. Remember the demands of God's throne? Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? You know, I often wonder why God in his mercy didn't cut me down. Six of us went away to the Second World War. Two of us came back. And I put it down to my mother's prayers, and she never became a Christian till after I went away to the war. But she prayed for me all the time. You know, it's a great privilege to have praying parents and praying friends. Perhaps that's why the judgment of God is not falling in godless, capitalistic America and Canada. You know, you hear a lot about godless communism, but capitalism's no better. You know, they're boasting about capitalism packing up and they've got no money. What's the difference? North America and Europe so much in debt, they're going to collapse too, or my Bible's not true. They're going to collapse. That's why the devil's masterpiece is going to take over after the true church is gone. Capitalism is no good either. It's just as godless. They've got neither heart nor soul. It's true. Now you think about it. Is there fruit in your life for God? What a way to live. Without God, having no hope. Many people live that way. Well, if you live without God and without Christ, you've got no hope for all eternity. It means to die without God. Die without Christ. Having no hope. No hope. You know, I remember shouting that at the top of my voice. Do you hear it? You've got no hope. There's a young fellow in Victoria, one that was preaching. One of the old elders got after me. He says, you're not in open air. Why you shout like that? We can hear you fine. At 6 o'clock in the morning, my telephone woke me up. A young man says, Brother Sutherland, I want to get saved. I can't sleep. No hope, no hope, no hope. It's been ringing my ear all night. Can I come and see you? And one of the elders blasted me for shouting my head off. You know, God can use anything, can't he? But it brought a young man to Christ. It's wonderful, isn't it? But listen, you've got no fruit. But you think of the intercession of the gardener. He says, give it another year. I'll dig it and I will dung it. And I want to say this, God may be spared your life because you've got a praying father and a mother or a praying friend. But perhaps God's got to say, cut it down. You know, it could be that way even today, isn't it? You know, in the same Luke chapter 12 from verse 16, we've got a parable of a rich farmer, and you could be like him. You know, you listen to this fella boast. The ground brought out forth plentifully, and he looks it over and he says, much goods, many years, much goods, many years. God says, fool, tonight. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, God always has the last word. Now, this man had abundance of fruit, but not the kind that God was looking for. God is looking for the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, against which there is no law. How can you please God and have fruit in your life towards God? How? By repenting of your sins first. Let me say, repenting of your many sins. We've all got plenty, eh? And accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, as long as a person continues on in their sin, they cannot praise God. Let me say again, the reason Jesus Christ came into this world, he said, I am come not to call the righteous, for there's none. There's none righteous. I didn't come to call the righteous, there's none of them to call. He says, I am come to call sinners to repentance. You know, all the good people in this world are going to hell. They're too good for God. They refuse to come to the Savior. I came as a sinner to Christ, and he saved me, and he's blessed me, not only with forgiveness, but with eternal life and many other blessings. God saves sinners, not good people. You want to get saved? That's a word I didn't like. You know, I had an uncle, and he used to annoy me. Every time he met me, he'd say, are you saved yet? And ooh, if he wasn't my uncle, I would have had a go at him sometimes. He'd make me so angry. He always buttonholed me. That's a novel thing, isn't it? To get buttonholed. When you know you're wrong, you're not right. Oh, I could have gladly knocked him down. And I could have too in those days. I was strong. Yes. But he was my uncle and I couldn't do it. I was afraid. My father had been very angry. But you think about it. Are you saved? Do you like that word? Well, if you don't like that word, you don't like the language of the Bible. And you'll never make it to God's heaven. You think about it. You know, that uncle of mine, he loved me. And I resented it. And because he loved me, he wanted to see me saved by the grace of God. And I resented it for years. It made me angry. Now, a sinful life is a wasted life. You know, many spend all their time and energy on becoming a success in this world. And they forget entirely about eternity, the life to come. And you know, you're not long here. Goodness gracious, most of my life is over. But I'm going into eternal glory one day. I'm not just going for a visit. I'm bound for eternal glory. You know, to go to the rapture is wonderful. To reign with Christ for 1,000 years over the millennium, the earth, from the new Jerusalem out in space. I'm going to be there 1,000 years, yes. But that's only starters. God of all grace hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Think about it. I'm bound for eternal glory. And people will sell their souls for the glory of being a politician and ending up corrupt. And the people saying, we don't want you, we're fed up with you. Huh? I would rather serve the Lord Jesus, wouldn't you? Listen, why do you reject our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Why? You know, the Lord made it clear, if you're not for me, you are against me. Now, the gospel calls on you and I to make up our minds. Which way will I take? You can take your own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone is turned to his own way. You can go your own way. That's no good. You can take the devil's way, and his way is the wrong way too. But if you're wise, you'll take God's way. The right way. The right way. You know it says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many. That's where the majority are going. Majority have gone through the wide gate and the broad way and they're heading for destruction. And God doesn't want them to go there, but they want to go there. Many there be which go in there because what? Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. You know why? You can't get in that way with your sin. Most people are damned because they've got a favorite sin, and that sin keeps them in the broad way that leads to destruction. I often think of Herod. He heard John the Baptist, that great man of God. He heard him gladly. And he did many things because of him, but there was one thing he wouldn't do. He'd another man's wife. One of the favorite sins of our day and generation. Another man's wife. And it damned him. He went to hell because of it. And you know, there's some people have a favorite sin. Sometimes it's money. Remember the rich ruler? Hey, can you see him there, kneeling in the dust, looking up to the Lord Jesus? The big hypocrite he was. He appeared to be humble, but his heart, the Lord knew his heart, eh? And the Lord put his finger right on it. Oh yeah, don't go by appearance. It's not always right, you know. He loved his money and his position so much, it says he went away sorrowful. The Lord told him how he could have eternal life. He asked the right question, good master, what shall I do? The Lord told him, but his possessions and his power kept him from the Lord. His favorite sin was power. Wealth kept him from God. Many a person would be like that. I remember the old story of the fellow that God spoke to him. He knew he should get right with God, and he put it off. He says, after I built my factory and made some money, then I'll trust the Lord Jesus. And he made a lot of money, but God struck him in his late 30s. And when he was dying, friends who were Christian gathered around and they prayed and they pleaded and they gave him the word of God. And before he died, he said this. He says, Jesus is over there and he's saying something, but I cannot hear him for the noise of the factory. He loved that factory more than his sins forgiven. And when he came there and he couldn't hear what Christ was saying for the noise of it. What's keeping you from Christ? A favorite sin? A favorite sin? It usually is, you know. It usually is. Now we've got no power. You think of this poor woman, this child of Abraham, bound together for 18 long years and could in no wise lift up herself. She's bent over and she longed to be straightened. Hers was a physical ailment, of course. But you know, many of us needed to be straightened out morally and spiritually. We were slaves to evil habits, weren't we? Many are today. You know, it's always a sad thing to see a man, the tears running down his face and saying, oh, if only I could give up this cursed drink or this drugs. It's sad, you know. And they can't do it. They've got no power. But thank God, what they can do with the help of the Lord, they can. We've seen it again and again. I remember one of the first fellows I got saved in the Wales estate in Guyana. And you know, when he used to stagger home on a Friday night, he'd come up the front steps of the little house. It was only 20 feet, you know, by 10. And he'd go up the front steps, and the family, he'd 9 of them. They went down to the bottom house, the rotten stilts because of the flood and it's below sea level. They would go down there and they wouldn't go up till he was asleep. They were scared stiff of him. But you know what a difference it made. The kids used to run to meet him in pay night after that. In fact, the rum shop man sent a whole big bottle of rum. He missed his money so much to try and get him back. thank God he was able to break it. And he said he didn't need it now. He had something better. Oh, yes. The Lord can give you the power to break your evil habits. You know what happened here in the story? The Lord Jesus saw that woman and he sees you. He called that woman to her and he spoke with authority to her. And he laid his hand on her. And she that was bound from her infirmity ends up glorifying God. You know, it's wonderful when you see people who've been slaves to evil habits for years. And they believe the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. And they're gloriously saved. Listen, the same Savior that called this woman is calling for you this morning. The Master is come and he's calling for you. Come unto me, he says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will what? Take? No, he's not a taker, he's a giver. I will give you rest. Rest from a guilty heart and a conscience. And you've got his word of assurance that you'll be welcome. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. This woman came in all her need to the Lord Jesus. What about you? Eh? Will you come to the sinner's friend? You've got no power to save yourselves. But he is able to save right through to the end all that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth. Now, you think about it. You think you should come? Don't be like Cain. Cain came saying, something in my hands I bring. To my goodness I will cling. You'll be rejected. But if you come as the song says, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked look to thee for dress, while I fount to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. You'll be blessed. This is a faithful saying, and is worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul added that wee bit. He says, I'm the chief of sinners. Where's he tonight? This morning, rather. He's in the glory. He's with the Lord. And if he could save the chief of sinners, a man that put his people to death, he was a murderer. He ravaged the church, it says. Healed them. He says, when your martyr Stephen was put to death, he says, I was standing by and consenting. In fact, he was the chief, wasn't he? He was encouraging them. He kept their clothes so they could stone him better. He was a man, he was a murderer. Yet he became a great preacher of the gospel. Why? Because the power in the gospel is unto salvation. Most power in this world is to destruction. But here is a power unto salvation. Now, you've heard the good news of the gospel. Power of God unto salvation to everyone that what? Believeth. Eh? The big question is, will you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners? The one who loved you and gave himself for you on the cross of Calvary to make you fit for the presence of God. You know what's going to happen? If you believe in him, your sins will be forgiven. Peace with God. God will be your Father. Heaven your eternal home and many, many other blessings. On the other hand, the moment you become a Christian, the religious boys will find fault. That's what happens in verse 14. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. Eh? He was annoyed. He was annoyed. They'll always find fault, religious people, with you. And you know, the Lord likens these fellows in verse 19 as the mustard seed, you know, grew into a big tree. And it walks the great tree, it says, and the fowls of the air lodged in its branches. That's what he likens these people to. The fowls of the air, the devil's messengers. The Bible always speaks about the fowls of the air. And the devil's got his plenty messengers today. They're religious, yes, but they don't tell you the truth. The devil has transformed himself into an angel light, and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. And in verse 21, it's likened to leaven put in a piece of pure dough. And leaven in the Bible, yeast always speaks of evil. It never stops working and it always gets bigger. It puffs up and works up. Isn't that right? There's only one way to stop it. You've got to put it in the fire. And the fire in the Bible speaks of judgment. You must always judge sin. If you don't, it'll get worse. It'll get worse. It'll get bigger. Now, lastly, in verse 22, the Lord leaves these crowds and he's on his way up to Jerusalem. He's going to go to the cross. And there's not so many people following him now. He's not so popular now. Up there, they're planning to put him to death. And this man says, are there few that be saved? Verse 23. What does the Lord say? He says, listen, never you mind whether few or many. He says, you make sure you are saved because there's no other way. That's what he's saying. He says, strive to enter in. You know, in the Greek, that's a very strong word. It means to agonize. It means to labor fervently. Agonize to enter in. You know, don't you worry about others. Remember, the Bible says the majority are on the broad way. They're going to destruction. There's few in the narrow way, but it leads to God, heaven and home. Which way are you going to take? There's no other way. Huh? You know, verse 25 speaks of those who too late will want to get the right way. The master of the house has risen up, shut to the door, and you begin to stand where? Out! Shut out. Doors have got two sides. Those who are saved will be inside. The rest will be shut outside. And look at the language. Oh, they know the language of the Bible. Lord, Lord! Lord, Lord. But they don't know the Lord. That's a problem. All they can do is speak about themselves. They tell what you do. You find them in Matthew 7:2. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many miracles in your name? And the Lord's going to say the same things he'll say to these people. They were their teachers and preachers. Now here's the people that listened to them. And they said, listen, Lord, look what we've done. We have eaten and drunk in your presence. Man, we joined your church and we took communion. We ate and we drank. We took of the bread and the wine. And they only drank damnation to their souls because their hearts was never right with God. Sad? And he says what? And you taught in our streets. They were in the presence of God. They heard the word of God, but they never trusted the Christ of God, and they'll never make it. You know, they profess much, Lord, Lord. Not everyone that saith Lord, Lord shall enter in, the Bible says. Only those who make Jesus the Lord and Savior. You think of the awful words, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. And you know, the people that claim so many of these things today, they tell you you could get saved and lost again. If that was so, surely here the Lord Jesus would say, well, I used to know you, but you got lost again. He doesn't say that. He says, I never knew you. That's solemn, isn't it? It's very solemn. You make sure that you're going the right way. You trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, the one who loved you and died to save you. If you do that, your sins will be forgiven. Think of it. You'll have eternal life. You'll have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Otherwise, everything you'll have will be down here. And it's all going to be burned up. The elements being in fire shall melt with a fervent heat. The world as we know it will pass away with a great noise. In fact, another scripture says the Lord's just going to take it like an old rag, a vesture, and wrap it up and throw it away. Okay? But he's going to bring in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You'll never make it there apart from Jesus Christ. Don't get religious. Don't get churchianity. Get to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and all is well. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Will you depart from the living God as you came in without Christ? Or will you say, yes, What shall I do then with Jesus? What shall I do with him? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Is that a difficult question? Pilate found it so. He made the wrong decision. Don't you make it. You make the right decision. See, as for me, I will serve the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we bow again in thy holy presence and we return thanks for the privilege of looking in to the sacred scriptures. We thank thee for giving us them. We think how wonderful it is that there are not a thousand ways. There's no need for confusion. There is only one way. And we thank thee that way was made possible when thy beloved Son went to the cross of Calvary and bore our sins in his own body and bore them all away. Father, we thank thee that Christ died for our sins. We thank thee that he was buried, and we rejoice that he was raised again the third day. We thank thee he went back to glory, saying to his disciples that he would come again and receive them unto himself, that where I am, there you'll be also. And Father, we thank thee we're looking for the Lord to descend from heaven, to give that shout, to take us all to glory. We thank thee for those in this company who rejoice because their sins, which are many, have been forgiven for his name's sake. And for those who are not saved, Lord, in mercy, we pray that their blinded eyes might be opened, and today they might seek the Lord while he may be found. They might call upon him while he is near. They might forsake their ways and their thoughts and return, and he will have mercy upon them and abundantly pardon. Hear us, our Father, we pray thee, and exceed our askings, not because we are worthy or deserving, but for the honor and glory of thy beloved Son, the Savior of sinners. Amen. Now the meeting is over. Thank you for coming. If the Lord has spoken in your heart and you need help, don't go away. Most people need help. Some people find the Lord all on their own. Most people don't. I needed help. Like the Ethiopian eunuch, when Philip joined him, he says, you understand it? He says, no. How can I except someone show me? And if we can show you, we would count it a privilege and a joy. Nobody will force you. You must make it known. But if we can point you to the Lord Jesus, we count it a privilege and a joy to do so. We are your servants for Christ's sake.